I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. This is All Things Considered from NPR News.
When you're cruising around on the internet, there's something you do all the time and maybe never really think about. Let's say I wanted to get tickets to a baseball game tonight. So I'm at the website for the Washington Nationals. I'm asking for 2 tickets, the best available seats. And here's what I have to do. A bunch of numbers have popped up on the screen in a grid. They're a little scrambled up, and I have to type them into a box. 106-7278. Why? Why do I have to do that? Nell Greenfield Boyce, our technology reporter, is here to explain.
Well, you've just proved that you're a human. It's sort of a silly little thing that you have to do, and it seems like a waste of time. But that's how the website knows that you're a human being trying to get tickets and not some sort of malevolent computer.
Well, it's sort of a nice confirmation of my humanity, but it's also annoying. I mean, it takes time. It's one more step.
Yeah, a lot of people feel that way, including this computer scientist who actually helped develop this kind of security measure. His name is Luis Van Aan, and he's a computer scientist at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh. And he recently sort of added up all the time that we spend typing in this stuff.
Approximately 200 million of these are typed every day by people around the world. Each time you type one of these, essentially you waste about 10 seconds of your time. And if you multiply that by 200 million, you get that humanity as a whole is wasting about 500,000 hours every day typing these annoying squiggly characters.
What a waste. But then he had an idea for harnessing all that human brain power. He knew that lots of libraries have these huge efforts underway to digitize their collections. They first scan books or newspapers, basically take a picture of each page. Then a computer takes the image of each word and converts it into text. Now, Van Aan knew that computers often come across printed words that they just can't recognize.
Especially for older documents, things that were written before like 1900, where the ink has faded and the pages have yellowed out, the computer makes a lot of mistakes.
And so a human being has to look at those words and decipher them. It occurred to Van Aan that he could link this kind of activity to security devices used on the internet. Instead of asking people to copy random letters and numbers, why not ask them to decipher those mystery words from scanned books and newspapers? So we got together with the New York Times, which is digitizing newspapers going back to 1851, and a nonprofit called the Internet Archive, which is digitizing thousands of books. He developed a new security device called ReCAPTCHA. It gets people to identify words that gave the scanning software trouble. His security system is now being used by over 40,000 websites.
And that includes a few big websites that most everybody's heard of, like Ticketmaster, Facebook, Craigslist.
This is how it works. When you go someplace like Ticketmaster to buy, say, Jimmy Buffett tickets, you're shown images of not one, but 2 distorted words. One of these is the real security word. Type this one correctly, and you're in. The other image is something that has mystified the scanning software. If people recognize the word, they type it in. This image will actually be shown to several people. If they all agree on what the word is, the system will figure it's pretty accurate. They must be right. And Van Aan says it will be incorporated into the digital copy of the book or newspaper that it came from.
And the number of words that we've been able to digitize like this is insanely large. It's like over 1 billion.
In the journal Science, he and his colleagues report that over the last year, web users have transcribed enough text to fill more than 17,000 books. Mark Franz, chief technology officer of digital operations for the New York Times, says the pace is astonishing. Each month, the project completes about 2 years' worth of newspapers.
Next year, if all goes well, we can do as many as 70 years, which would be almost the entire rest of the archive that is not digitized.
You might think that this system is taking people even more time than the old way, since they have to type in 2 different things instead of just 1. But Van Aan says it's actually faster to type English words than it is to type random letters and numbers. There is one problem, though. Sometimes the book scanners offer up something that people can't read at all.
Like, for example, just some sort of ink blot on the page.
Web users can find that confusing. And here's another thing.
When you pull 2 random words from books, you can get some very random combinations.
Brian Pike is chief technology officer for Ticketmaster. He says the 2 words can occasionally form juxtapositions that could be weird or even offensive.
And there's certain phrases and words you've asked them to make sure don't show up.
He didn't want to give me an example. He says, mainly, the system works great from a security standpoint. And if customers don't like it, At least now they know that their time isn't wasted. Nell Greenfield Boyce, NPR News.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. For many of us, a cell phone is not a luxury anymore. It's a necessity. It can certainly feel like a necessity when you're busy and out of touch. But NPR's Karen Grigsby Bates says if you make personal calls on your company cell phone, the IRS may have your number.
Cell phones used to be the size of a brick. They weighed about that much, and they cost thousands of dollars. And in the business world, they were considered executive perks, like being given a car and driver.
Back 20 years ago, cell phones were an exotic item.
That's Ed McClellan, partner at the accounting firm PricewaterhouseCoopers. Early on, he says keeping tabs on the cell phone perk was simple.
Senior management were the only people who carried them, so it was relatively easy to track what was then considered to be a high-value fringe benefit.
But today, it isn't so easy since mobile phones are for the masses, and lots of companies hand them out. Just ask John Walls, Vice President for Public Affairs at CTIA, the wireless industry's lobbying arm.
You can look at any number of workforces, whether you're a plumber, whether you're a field force worker of some type, maybe a realtor or a doctor. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. The number of people in this country who depend on their cell phone to conduct their business is well into the millions.
That's where the IRS comes in. The folks at the Internal Revenue Service have begun to enforce an often overlooked law that treats the work cell phone as a company benefit, which means you pay taxes on it. Use the company mobile to make personal calls, and Walls says the IRS could come calling on you.
Now, is that law right? Is that law fair? Is the intent of the original law still intact today? And the answer to that is unequivocally no.
But as the law stands, it's unequivocally legal. The IRS has the right to tax personal use of a business cell phone, says Michael O'Neill. He's the manager for tax and payroll services for the University of California system.
There's no personal use of a cell phone that's allowable under regulations. All personal use of a phone, no matter how small it is, has to either be reimbursed by the employee or the employer has to treat the value of those calls as taxable income and put it under the employee's W-2.
O'Neill found that out the hard way. Last year, during a routine payroll audit, the IRS discovered that UCLA had failed to require its employees to pay for all the personal calls they'd made on their business cell phones. Those minutes didn't cost the university anything extra, says O'Neill, but the IRS still wanted every call documented.
If you don't have the required documentation on hand, they could basically assess tax on the entire cell phone bill. And for a campus like UCLA, that would be over $1 million.
In this case, the university settled with the IRS for about $240,000. PricewaterhouseCoopers' Ed McClellan says that kind of micro-documentation is a potential paperwork nightmare.
It puts companies and employees in a very difficult situation because the only solution here is for a detailed accounting of every telephone call that's made.
A number of industries that depend on cell phones have been pushing for change. A bill has already passed the House that will modernize cell tax laws and is now in the Senate. The wireless industry's John Walls predicts it will pass.
We think this is one of those nonpartisan issues where everybody benefits. You really, want to look at the providing your consumers with the best opportunities, and getting rid of this antiquated tax would certainly be that.
Which might be the only thing both parties agree on this year. Karen Grigsby Bates, NPR News.
Cell phones are ingrained in our culture by now, and you can trace their evolution from those big bricks to today's fashion accessories in a video at our website, npr.org.